Direct from Orlando, it's blindbargains.com coverage of NFB 2017. Brought to you by Hims.
BrailleSense Polaris is shipping. The future is now. Check out the first Google-certified future-proof note-taker with no touchscreen required. For more information, visit www.hims-inc.com.
Now, here's Chansey Fleet.
Hi, I'm here with Betsy Bowman, president of Benetech, and her colleague Lisa Waters, who's senior program manager for Benetech Global Literacy and Labs. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Betsy, could you tell us a little bit about what Benetech is?
Yes, and in fact, I bet some of your listeners have heard of Bookshare, but have never heard of Benetech. Benetech is actually our organization. We're a nonprofit in California, and we are most known for running Bookshare, but we also have multiple other initiatives, some within the same arena. So we run the Diagram Center, which we'll talk about a little more coming up here, and a number of things in that area, as well as doing software for human rights. And we're doing some work in some anti-poverty initiatives and some other neat new things in our Benetech Labs area. So lots of fun stuff going on at Benetech.
Excellent. And Lisa, you're primarily focusing on Bookshare here at the conference, correct?
Yeah, so we're here today and this week to talk about some of the new things that are happening at Bookshare. Very exciting stuff around our search. People are now able to do more advanced search to locate the items that they're looking for more quickly and easily. Also, for those people who have used what we call our reading lists, what they are is you are able to put a list of books that you're interested in reading out and about. And in the past, it was just used for teachers and students. But what we've done in the last few months is actually open that up so that all people have access to reading lists. And you can either put yours out for public use where other people can follow you, or you can follow others. So for instance, if your favorite author were to have a reading list, you would put your name on their list, follow them. And as they added a new book, you'd be notified as that book is now entered onto Bookshare.
Excellent. So it's a way to make reading a little bit more social and help your friends and your network discover things.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a really great way to make sure that, you know, you're able to communicate and talk about what you're reading and what you've liked and what you want other people to know about.
And speaking of making reading more of a community thing, you're partnering with an increasing number of libraries.
Yes. And we're very excited about our library partnerships. We have been with New York Public Library in New York City for quite some time now. And we've also been partnering with Pennsylvania and Georgia. So what that means is that because of these agreements, anyone with a New York Public Library card or a Georgia State Library card or Pennsylvania State Library card who meets the Bookshare criteria, so not able to read a traditional printed print book, would be able to access Bookshare for free. So we're encouraging people to go to their libraries, tell their librarian that they would like to have access to over 560,000 titles. So over 500,000 titles in all the books that they want when they want them.
So I bet a lot of our listeners are going to be wondering how to facilitate one of those partnerships and how to advocate around that. If someone's in a state that they think should have access to library-based Bookshare memberships, who should they reach out to kind of get the advocacy tools that they might need to make that happen and make the messaging right?
So in the state, every state has a librarian that serves the blind and dyslexic population. They can reach out to that librarian or they can reach out to me and I can follow up with the library as well and let them know that there are people who are interested in having access to Bookshare. So with all of the work that we've been able to do with Bookshare, you know, it's pretty easy now to get books into our collection, often on the days that they're available in the store or on Amazon. But what we wanted to focus on for the rest of our talk today is what do you do with those things that are a little bit more complex beyond the words in a book? So how do people access charts and graphs and pictures? And our Diagram Center is actually what I'm going to pass the mic over to Betsy to talk to you about a little bit this afternoon to learn more about ways that Benetech is working to make books more accessible to all of our readers.
All right. We, through Bookshare, do a lot of accessible text and in the millions, and that's great. But what about if you want to study science or math? That's very image heavy, and math comes across in a lot of books today as images and not even as equations. So there's the actual graphics in math, but also the equations. So some years ago, through funding from the Department of Education, we started the Diagram Center. And the Diagram Center is really all about that. How can we do research and development and come up with new solutions to this big problem of images, graphics, and math? And, you know, really the goal, as Lisa said, is to increase the number of new educational materials, especially that kind of math and science content, that are born accessible and really readily available to all students. And so to do that, we do a number of techie things. We kind of get our geek on so you can get your geek on. We basically do standards, so technical standards work, and we partner with the DAISY Consortium on this with George Kircher. And one of our early partners in the Diagram Center was also NCAM, WGBH, because we knew that we needed to deal with things like image descriptions and video description and other areas. So we're going after big challenges in accessible images at the Diagram Center. So today, it is still very manual to do a lot of image work, whether you're creating a tactile or you're doing a description. And we're going after things like, how can we help? What kind of tools can we put out there that makes it easier for people to do the part people have to do, but also do some things so that machines can do some of that work so that we can just simply get more accessible images out there? And finally, the other big piece that we tackle is really working with the publishing community, because we're very oriented toward the fact that really all of this remediation after books are published isn't really the best way to do it. The best way to do it is for any new materials that are born digital to be born accessible. So these are all sort of the goals. And some of the tools include things like a Poet image description tool that really is a training tool to help people learn how to do image descriptions. And there's things in there like templates. So if you are going to describe a pie chart, you don't have to think about how to do that from scratch. You sort of just fill in the blanks for what's actually in that pie chart. It's filled with best practices and really lets you actually upload images and practice on them. And, you know, somebody can do an image description through there and really see how to do it well, because that's one of the other problems. You can't just put an image in front of just anybody and say, hey, describe this thing. If it's a complex, say, a science graph, you really have to know what you're talking about in order to describe it appropriately. The other piece is that we've done a bunch on the tactile and 3D side. So Lisa, in fact, has run a 3D printing project so that we can really look at how can these, you know, now much more commercially available tools like 3D printers that are getting less and less expensive every day, how can they be put to use effectively for people who are blind and visually impaired or have other issues interacting with the objects and the images. So, you know, we're looking at things like, okay, you can do a 3D printout, but what if you need to print Braille on it? What are the standard ways to do that that are actually going to be effective and useful for the people that are using them? And a lot of that's coming together in a very cool new repository that we have. And this is something that I know is of great interest to the NFB. And I remember Dr. Maurer asking me about this at least 4 years ago, saying, when are we going to have a place to go to find accessible image files, whether they be a 3D printout or a 2D tactile or a described image? And so we have come up with Benetech ImageShare, which is a place to go, but we're also pulling in accessible images from other places. And we've just come out of doing some really cool pilots on that, where, you know, what we basically learned is there are some things that still need to be tweaked on some of the content. For example, we have a bunch of high school biology content in there. But what we also heard is that when it works, like when the content is right, this can be life-changing. And life-changing was literally a quote from one of the students who was working on this. So I think there's great things to come. And these are some of the kind of examples of the things we're doing in the Diagram Center.
So is ImageShare still kind of a closed pilot, or is it something anybody can check out?
So right now it's still in alpha. We are still piloting a few other aspects of it and hope to move it to the next stage fairly soon.
and you'll see described images, 2D images, and 3D images all available in that same kind of system.
So each image will have a collection of supporting modalities too. They may not have all of them, but you know, they may have 3D and 2D. They may have some. In the future, we hope to open it up to more work around haptics and sonification, long text description, alt text, things like that. And so when you browse, you'll see the options of how you can access the additional modalities to support your knowledge of that concept.
Excellent.
So content is king, as they always say. Yeah. And so getting more content in there is a big part of it. And we're doing some neat new things in that area to be able to connect directly to other repositories. We actually have a volunteer doing some work taking physics. It's somebody who really gets physics and is looking to take a bunch of physics diagrams from an open content book and put them in there. So, you know, we're having to work very carefully to make sure we don't run into legal issues and such as well. So really looking for those groups that are willing to share their educational images so that we can make them available.
Excellent. I can't wait to see it in action.
Yeah. And there are some other neat new things the Diagram Center is doing too. I should say one of the coolest things about the Diagram Center is it's a big community. So, you know, I would say to anybody out there, if you're working in this area of anything from images, graphics, interactives, if this is an area of interest to you, you should check us out. And it's diagramcenter.org, and it's center like the American spelling with a T-E-R, not T-R-E like they do in the UK. We do have a lot of international folks involved and engaged in the Diagram Center as well. So I always have to explain that. But there's updates, information, lots of stuff at diagramcenter.org. And we're looking at things in machine learning. We're doing some cool new things with WGBH around their popular kids show for learning science concepts called Peep in the Big Wide World, and they have an interactive site, and we're going to use that to really show the world how something like that, an interactive online educational tool, can be made really accessible.
Wonderful. It's so important to underscore the relevance and the necessity of incorporating robust accessibility into multimedia, because we're really moving away from being a text-based world.
Yep.
Right when we've gained maximal access to text.
Exactly. As I hate to use a sort of violent metaphor, but I always worry and have worried from, you know, way back doing Bookshare that, you know, I don't want to be fighting last year's war, so to speak. I want to make sure we're looking at where is education going and where is it already, and make sure that we're working on that.
At the risk of putting you in a position to give kind of a hot take, how worried are you about augmented and virtual reality?
Worried? Wow, see, you're talking to a techie, so I don't think of it as worried. I think
good.
It has huge opportunities. You know, I know there's some stuff going on today as well, some other speakers at the main plenary that are talking about ways to use machine learning and AI to great advantage for people with disabilities. So, I mean, there are always some scary things, but I look at the opportunities to really leverage these technologies.
Absolutely. So starting to imagine what's coming next.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, Betsy, Lisa, thank you so much for your time. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
For more exclusive audio coverage, visit blindbargains.com or download the Blind Bargains app for your iOS or Android device. Blind Bargains audio coverage is presented by the AT Guys.
Online at atguys.com.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.